So as some of you know, I'm embarking on a very long journey with you all. We're going to be going through a journey of discovering what does it mean to grow in Christ. And so what we're going to do is we're going to pick apart 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 3 to 11. And I'm going to be going through it sort of piece by piece through the next couple of months. And I really want to address this very important topic of how do we grow in Christ. And I'm going to be going through a lot of different things. And we had a wonderful teaching about it at the retreat, and I'm just kind of following through with that. And again, as I had mentioned last week, you know, if you do want to grow in Christ, it does require being willing to be changed. You know, a lot of us like to talk about change. We idealize change. But, you know, if you really think about change, it's a difficult thing. Here's an example. Have you ever been sleeping? You know, it's early in the morning, and it's all gray outside, and it's kind of cold, and your bed is all warm. And you're just thinking, like, do I really want to just go out there and face the world? No, not really, right? You're so tempted to just kind of turn over in that warm, cozy bed. And then all of a sudden, you hear on the door, someone's knocking, like, Mom, are you in there? Duh, 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 right? Dad, are you in there? Duh, duh, duh. Or you know that outside of that door, once you walk out, you've got to deal with errands, you've got to deal with relatives. You know that feeling? No one likes that feeling. No one gets out of bed in those feelings. But like that's kind of what I want to talk about, is sometimes we don't want to change. We like the kind of the comfort of that warm, cozy bed, but sometimes you just got to throw off those covers and say, okay, let's do this. Let's do this. Let's face the world. Let's do this. And that's what I wanted to talk about. And so sometimes I'm going to be talking about some things, maybe challenging you, and you're like, oh, Pastor Sam, that means I've got to like throw off the covers of my warm little blanket. I'm like, yeah, maybe it does. And so I want to encourage you to be willing to throw off those blankets and to face what God has for you. Because once you do, you're going to ask yourself, like, wow, how could I have even considered not leaving this room? You know, many of us don't realize the blessing until we actually walk into it. And then we look back and thinking, well, I'm really glad I didn't spend my whole spiritual day just cooped up somewhere, because I would have missed out on what God wants to do with my life. And so what I want to do today is to talk to you about growing in Christ, and specifically about the Holy Spirit. Now, this is very important. In fact, I think this is probably one of the most important messages I'm going to be preaching in this entire series. And I want to just start from a very personal place. You know, when people talk to me as a pastor, they're always talking about, I want to grow. In fact, you know, many churches, when they're looking for a pastor, they're looking for a pastor that can help them grow. I meet many people who leave churches, and the reason why they leave the church is because they say, well, I wasn't growing in that church. And so there's tremendous pressure on leadership for us to conjure up the secret formula of growth. I'm sorry, I think I sang too hard in worship today, and like my voice is all like, ah. I don't know, it makes me sound more wise. I don't know. Anyways, and so there's this tremendous pressure on pastors to grow, you know, to grow the church. And, you know, I get very intimidated by this. I often am encountering my limitations as a pastor, as a teacher, as a counselor, as all these things. You know, constantly, even this week, someone came from off the street and actually had some, like, you know, spiritual needs that they wanted to talk and pray about. And, you know, I was just thinking, wow, this is big. This is really big. Like, God, who am I to, you know, try and speak encouragement and grace into this person's life? Often when I'm counseling with people, I'm thinking, like, wow, this is really big. What are the needs of the church? I feel like I'm starting to see them, and I'm thinking, wow, this is really big. I don't know how I'm going to do this. How can I oversee all the needs of the people? How can I ensure that people can grow? I think, you know, of parents, you know, having done youth ministry for a while, and I was just thinking, wow, if I was the parents of these children, I would be so freaked out all the time. Like, they're at this age where you just can't control them. You just can't tell them what to do, and they'll do it. How do you ensure that they'll grow up to be good people, serving Christ and loving God? You know, I was just thinking about all of our families, all of our relationships. How can we ensure that the people that we love will grow in Christ? How can we effectively usher in change. You know, especially in the political climate right now, everybody's unhappy, whatever side you're on. And everyone wants to bring in change. Change this, change that. And everyone has an idea to change, but what is it that will effectively change us? And many of us come into churches and we're desperate for inspiration. And we're seeking, you know, better sound systems, you know, better multimedia, something that will get across inspiration. You know, you come into some churches and it seems closer to Disneyland than like the house of God, because we're all trying to get that jolt of inspiration. And the more I do ministry, the harder I try to fill this need, you know, the harder I fall. I encounter brick walls all the time. You know, there's messages where I've prepared for weeks and stuff, and I'm really thinking about it, really excited, and I preach it, and everyone's falling asleep, and just the only guy who comes up to me says, "Oh, Pastor Sam, I was so blessed by this, and it was a point that I didn't even say," and I'm like, "Okay, well, why not?" You know, not this church, some other church out there in the world. I won't name their name. Anyways, you know, and there's constantly, you know, when you're preaching the Christian message, what I find, if you're really faithful to talk about how Jesus taught, it's actually very offensive. So if I really want to teach how Jesus taught, I don't just get, like, disinterest. I also get, like, rejection. People don't like it. You know, how do you preach Christ in a world that does not like Christ? In fact, hates who Christ is. Hates him so much that they would crucify him. And it is for this reason, you know, and it is this point where I was just like, you know, I can't do this. And this is where I realized that it is up to the Holy Spirit. It is for this very reason that the Holy Spirit has been sent to the people of God. Praise God that growth is not dependent on you, is not dependent on me. Growth starts with the Holy Spirit. And this is very important, especially in places where we have a lot of members who are very accomplished, very smart, you know, who have great personalities. I remember growing up and doing young adult ministry. And, you know, sometimes when you talk to other pastors, we start kind of talking about, like, draft picks. Oh, we've got some great draft picks in our church, you know. Great potential. We see these guys, they're going to grow in ministry. They're going to be awesome people. And as you know about draft picks, it's all kind of scary, right? The draft pick you thought for sure, right? Number one to go, you know, in a couple of years, where are they now, right? And I see that all the time as pastors. You know, the people that I thought had such great aptitude for theology, great aptitude for serving, they burn out. And then it's that kind of wild card, crazy person who is growing up who turns out to be the pastor in the end, right? Always, I meet youth pastors. Constantly, their testimony is, "I was the worst kid in youth group." You know, and God makes them youth pastor. So just to let you know, any troublemakers in there, be careful. God might make you a youth pastor. And why is this? You know, why does God just keep, like, you know, jumping over all our expectations? Because he constantly reminds me, it's not about us. It's not about our abilities. It's about the Holy Spirit. It's about his grace. And so I want to talk about the Holy Spirit today. And that's why it says in 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 3, it says, "His divine power has given us everything that we need for a godly life through our knowledge of him who has called us by his own glory and goodness." Now let's really focus on that, just first phrase. His divine power has given us what? Everything we need. It is not your ability, it is not your temperament, it is God and his power who has given you all that you need. So when people come up to me and say, "You know, Pastor Sam, this Christian life is so hard, I can't do it, I'm not capable, I'm not smart enough, I'm not wise enough, I don't know the Bible enough," you know, this 2 Peter chapter 1 tells me that's not an excuse. Because the fact is, his divine power has given you everything you need. And so I want to encourage you to just get your Bibles ready, because we're going to go through a lot of Bible stuff. We have a lot of Bibles in the pews. The young folks, you have Bibles on your phones now. I'm going to assume you're using your phone, not Twitter or Facebook, okay? This is a trust issue, guys. I'm just going to trust you're going to do that. All right? And so this is what it's saying. The divine power of God has given us everything that we need. The Holy Spirit has been sent to us, and the Holy Spirit is all that we need. There's no one in here who can come up to me and say, you know, Pastor, I'm just not growing. Like, oh, I'm a victim Christian because I don't have a good Christian program. You know, I grew up, I remember for a long period of my youth life, in a youth group where no one spoke English. They all spoke Korean. I couldn't speak Korean. And, you know, it was even in that, and, you know, my parents really didn't know anything. They didn't read the books. I mean, you know, they made a lot of mistakes in developmental blah, blah, blah. But somehow here I am today. And I'm not saying I'm perfect by any means. But God gave me what I needed. You know, God finds a way. The Holy Spirit has given us all that we need for a godly life. And, you know, I want to talk about the Holy Spirit. You know, we talk about the Holy Spirit as sort of this vague thing. But in John chapter 16, verse 13 to 14, it says this, that the Holy Spirit is, and I appreciate actually the slides that Eric gave before worship, just naming all the names of the Holy Spirit. One popular name of the Holy Spirit is Counselor, and that comes from the Greek word parakletos. And we also refer to the Holy Spirit in Greek as paraklete, which is the word one who gives support. And this is a way to look at the Holy Spirit. You know, when we talk about the Holy Spirit, we think, oh, the Holy Spirit is this weird energy, this weird mystic energy that is going to kind of shake us up like a bolt of electricity. Or it's this feeling. But the Holy Spirit is a person. And what is the role of the Holy Spirit? Is one who gives support. One who supports you in your Christian life. One who helps you. One who counsels you. And this is what I really want to get across today. The Holy Spirit is not some vague idea. It is a person. And it's unfortunate in a lot of churches, we don't like to talk about the Holy Spirit. And it is to our great detriment. My most recent discipleship class, I spent the last series just talking about how the Holy Spirit and the church are so fundamentally important to the Christian life. The Spirit shares in the divinity of God. The Holy Spirit is just as worthy of worship and praise as the Father and the Son. The Holy Spirit deserves just as much attention. You know, in our daily Christian walks, we love to pray to the Father, we pray to the Son, but the Holy Spirit, do we ask of the Holy Spirit to give us the strength that we need to live this day? You know, part of my background growing up, I do have a lot of friends in like more like charismatic Pentecostal traditions, and we hear about the Holy Spirit, we often think about these people who get kind of shook up by the Holy Spirit. They start shaking in the Holy Spirit. It's very emotional. Or we think about these things called like gifts of the Spirit, and we talk about things like speaking in tongues and these very fantastical things like prophecy. And, you know, I lament that that's kind of the only experience that we have when we talk about the Holy Spirit for a lot of people. Because the Holy Spirit is so much more than that. The Holy Spirit is God coming through with his promise saying, I will always be with you. And what's the context of this? If you look in Acts, well, in John, Christ was talking to his disciples, and he said, look, guys, I'm going back to the Father. Now, you can imagine the disciples. They left everything they had to follow Jesus because they believed that he was the Messiah. And here's Jesus now talking 3 years into his ministry, thinking, you can't leave. We just gave up everything for you. What are we going to do? We're going to be completely helpless. We're going to be victims in this crazy world. And Jesus says this. He says, don't worry, because I'm going to send the Holy Spirit. So you'll never be alone. John chapter 16, verse 12 to 14. This is what Jesus says to his disciples. I have much more to say to you, more than you can bear. But when he, the Spirit of truth, comes, he will guide you into all the truth. He will not speak on his own. He will speak only what he hears. And he will tell you what is yet to come. He will glorify me because it is from me that he will receive what he will make known to you. All that belongs to the Father is mine. That is why I said the Spirit will receive from me what he will make known to you. And I know this language might be confusing for some, but basically what he's saying is this. The Holy Spirit will take everything from the Father, everything from the Son, and he will teach you all that you need. You know, it's not about your literacy and all of this stuff. It's like the Holy Spirit is the focus of it all. This is the great mystery of the Trinity, is that we have one God. We don't worship three gods. We worship one God, but he's revealed to us in three persons. How does that work exactly? I don't know. I'm not God. When I meet him one day face to face, I'm definitely going to try and ask him to clarify a little bit more. But it is a mystery. But we see it evident in Scripture is that we have one God. And part of this Godhood of the Trinity is the Holy Spirit. The Spirit is here to ensure that we receive all that God wanted us to receive. And why is the Holy Spirit here? Is to be committed to us for the process of what we call sanctification. Now, that's a very big theological word, I know. But sanctification is this. It comes from the word sanctify, sanctus, which means holy. It's basically God's commitment to make you holy. You see, one of the problems I see in like a lot of churches and a lot of like outreaches and stuff is the whole goal of outreach is just to get you saved, you know? Just to get you to believe in Jesus Christ and then see you later. And then we have this kind of impression in our churches is that the whole goal of Christianity is to just get saved. And I don't even remember my message on marriage. You know, sometimes like the whole point of these romantic comedies is like, just get the people together, you know? Just get them married and then roll credits and it's over. You know, and I want to tell you, that is a terrible way to look at relationship because, as, you know, many of you know, especially some of our older folks, marriage is just the beginning. You don't roll the credits then. That's when the movie starts. And see, the same thing with Christianity. When you get saved, this is not the end thing. This is the beginning. So what's next? Many of us now, we don't realize this, and so we just think, well, I got saved. I guess this is it. I'll just wait around until Jesus gets back, and I don't know. We'll take it from there, you know? And that's how we're living our Christianity. And we wonder why our lives are so stagnant, and we're not living in the purposes of God because we don't know what God wants. The thing is, when you get saved, he says, we're now going to start this journey where your life is going to be set apart for God and his kingdom. You no longer live for yourself, but you live for the kingdom of God. Your old perspectives, your old habits, your old attitudes, you let those go so that you can take on the new life, the full, abundant life that Jesus Christ has ready for you. Being saved is not the end goal of life. It's just the beginning. The rest of your lives is to start this process of becoming more and more set apart for God, more and more holy for God, or in theological terms, more and more sanctified for God. And that's what we call sanctification. How can I do this? How can I become more and more set apart for God? When we think of this, we think, oh man, this is going to be so difficult because, you know, this is where I have to give up all these habits. I can't do it. I don't have enough willpower. I'm not a good person. You know, I don't know enough about the Bible. And that is exactly what the Holy Spirit is here for. The Holy Spirit says, I know you don't have enough in yourself, so I'm going to help you. I'm going to support you. I'm going to counsel you. That is what the Holy Spirit is for. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 13 to 14. It tells us that the Holy Spirit has come to guarantee what is to come in the future. Through the Spirit's work in our life, we will be ready to receive what God has given to us through Christ's salvation. It says this in Ephesians chapter 1. And you were included in Christ when you heard the message of truth, the gospel of your salvation. When you believed, get this, you were marked in him with a seal, which was the promised Holy Spirit, who is a deposit guaranteeing our inheritance until the redemption of those who are God's possession to the praise of his glory. We are called to grow in our salvation. This is not an optional thing. This is not for like serious Christians and then just, you know, the normal Christians just kind of sit around. The whole point of being saved is that you become holy people. And this is a process. Sometimes it's even a battle. It's a battle of saying like, look, this is not me anymore. It used to be me, but now in Christ, it's not me anymore. And so I'm going to push on to what God wants for my life. And that's not easy. But the good news is this, as the Holy Spirit will make you able. Time and time again, I've met young Christians who say, you know, Sam, I didn't think I could give up, blah, blah, blah. But it's amazing. Now that I've come to Christ, I just feel like I'm willing. I want to. And I have. You know, that's not just because you discovered the secret technique to find more willpower. That's the Holy Spirit working in you. You know, let's not treat it like a strange miracle. Let's depend on it. Let's pray for it. Let's ask for it. Many of us don't change, not because we're not able to, but because we're not praying for it. We don't really want God to answer our prayer. Do you really want God to answer your prayer to make you more holy? That's the bigger question. Do you want the Holy Spirit to change you? You know, many people talk about change and reform, but do you really want to go through that difficult process, that change process, that refining process? The Holy Spirit is here to give us all that we need. So the question is, do we want to receive it? It's not only up to us, but as we submit to the help of the Holy Spirit, we are surely going to make it. We're surely going to change. You know, I've given everyone sermon notes in the bulletin today. And this is something I go through with my discipleship class too. You see, right from the Old Testament and the New Testament, this is the ministry of the Holy Spirit. It's not just a New Testament thing, the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit has been present throughout the entire Bible. And this is just like a snapshot of what he does. He creates. You know, he was active in the beginning of time, beginning of creation. He reveals who God is. You know, a lot of us like, oh, I don't know. I want to know more about God. And then we just kind of like just sit around thinking like, well, I don't know what to do. Pray to the Holy Spirit. That's why we pray things like, and we sing, open the eyes of my heart, God, that I may see you. The Holy Spirit enables us and equips us to do God's work. You know, let me tell you, if anyone's like ill-equipped to be teaching the Word of God, sometimes I feel it's me. You know, I know the worship team, I'm very impressed. You know, they try and do Bible studies because there's a lot of like, they want to be equipped, they want to be ready. But you know, just to encourage the worship team, the best worship leader out there that I know of, hands down, better than anyone I know, is the Holy Spirit. And so if you try and lead worship with all of your skills and your abilities without the Holy Spirit, you're not going to communicate to people's hearts. The only one who can really open up our hearts and enable us and equip us to do God's ministry is the Holy Spirit. Are there moments that you've come to church and you just feel like your spirit is dead inside? Then just take joy in knowing that Ezekiel, the prophet Ezekiel, he was before God and he stood before like a valley of dry bones. Literally, a graveyard. He's standing in front of a graveyard and God rose up an army for God in that graveyard. Do you feel like a graveyard today? Well, then you've come to the right place. The Holy Spirit loves to revive people. The Holy Spirit is in the business of resurrecting people. The Holy Spirit speaks. Many of us, we keep kind of praying, God, answer my prayer. But do we actually say, Holy Spirit, speak, I'm listening. There's been so many times where I've been praying for something. Somebody calls me and talks to me about something. I'm like, oh, I can't talk right now. I'm praying, you know. And then I turn on the TV. It's the same subject. I'm like, oh, what's this? I keep getting distracted. Turn it off. Keep praying. God, why don't you answer me? And I feel like God's saying, look, I've been talking to you the whole time. The Holy Spirit, if we took it seriously, is here for us, interacting with us, calling out to us. It teaches us. Why is it that Christians can read this Bible and find words of life and inspiration and find transformation as they read these pages? As a kid, I was amazed by the Bible because I honestly thought it was changing. Like, I would read a page and then I'd come back to it just to see if the words didn't change. Because I felt like every time I read it, I saw something new. And as a kid, I didn't understand what was going on. Why is it that non-Christians read this and they only see like a work of literature? And they see it as something like empty religion. It's because it's the Holy Spirit speaking to us through the Word of God. You know, it's not the pages and the book and the binding itself that is magical or mystical. What makes this Word of God powerful is the Holy Spirit speaking to us through these words that give us life. No one here in this room can say, I don't have any gifts to serve God. Because where do the gifts come from? They come from God. God gives the gifts. There's no one here who is lacking anything. There is no one here who has like, no one's praying for me. The Holy Spirit is praying for you. There is no one here that can say that, you know, I am like a desert Christian. I am so alone. I am so empty because the Holy Spirit is there. His divine power has given you everything that you need. Whenever I talk about, you know, being saved, there's always like kind of that smart aleck young person who kind of goes to me, well, Pastor Sam, what if like I'm stranded on a desert island and, you know, and there's no civilization and da da da. I've yet to meet someone like this, but anyways, I just entertain them. And I tell them, well, the Holy Spirit has given you all that you need. I've never been in that situation, but God knows where you're coming from. That's why as a pastor, I come across constantly situations where I'm thinking, wow, I'm way over my head. I don't know how this is going to work. But I know that the Holy Spirit will give us all that we need. And that gives us confidence that we can grow. That gives us peace that we can grow. Paul was so confident. He said this about the church of Philippi. Through a letter, even though he can see them in person, he wrote this in Philippians chapter 2, verse 12 to 13. I think it's actually chapter 1. I might have wrote that wrong. Anyways, I thank my God every time I remember you. In all my prayers for all of you, I always pray with joy because of your partnership in the gospel from this first day until now. Being confident of this, that he who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion until the day of Jesus Christ. Now, can you imagine Paul? He's this pastor going out into like the frontier. This young church out there, and he's just preached the gospel to them, and they're growing in Christ. And think about your own children, maybe, or someone you really love. They've just kind of come to Christ, and you really want to hope that they grow. You can't help but feel like a little anxious. Are they going to be okay? But here's Paul having full confidence in the church of Philippi. Why? Because he is confident that he who began the good work in them, that he who saved them, will be faithful to bring that work to completion on the day of Jesus Christ. You see, Paul was a pastor who believed in the power of the Holy Spirit. Which brings me to this important point. If we are really serious about growing in Christ, we must be very serious about prayer. Because it is in prayer that grace and our works intersect. And what do I mean by that? We pray because we ask God to answer the things we can't answer for ourselves. Why do we pray? Because I can't answer my own prayer. So I pray to the God who can only answer the things that God can. That is why I pray. Why don't you pray? Well, that's because you think that you can answer your own prayers. It's just that simple. The people who pray because they know that only God can answer this. We pray because we are seeking for God to answer in the way that only he can. We pray for God's mercy. We pray because that is what God can do. And that is why growing in Christ is not up to you. You know, I don't care how much knowledge you have. I've studied under a lot of people with PhDs who are very learned. But they don't have the Spirit of God. They don't pray. And so they remain stuck and stagnant in their knowledge, comfortable thinking they know enough about God. It doesn't matter how little or how much you know. If you do not pray to ask for the Holy Spirit to grow in you, if you do not pray to submit to the work of sanctification in your life, you will not grow. Because God does not work like the power of the world through coercion, you know, through bullying. You know, some people like to say, I want a pastor who just tells me what to do, just tells me how to grow, kicks my butt and makes me grow. I wish that would be that simple, but it's not. That is not how God works. That is not how the Holy Spirit works. God works through invitation. He is available for us to give us all that we need. But the question is, will you receive it? If we keep in step with the Spirit, God has promised to keep us strong to the end. If you look at the book of Jude, chapter 1, well, there's actually only one chapter. Verse 24 to 25, it ends with this beautiful doxology. It says this, to him who is able to keep you from stumbling and to present you before his glorious presence without fault and with great joy. To the only God, our Savior, be glory, majesty, power, and authority through Jesus Christ our Lord, before all ages, now and forevermore. Amen. To him who is able to keep you from stumbling and to present you before his glorious presence without fault and with great joy. To God who is able to keep us from stumbling. To all of you, God is able to present you before him on that great day, on that final day when Christ comes again, without fault and without blemish, because God is able to do it. Now here's the question. God is able. Will you let him do it in you? And this is a question that each individual must answer for themselves. Parents, this is hard, but your children have to answer this for themselves. They can't answer it through you. Will they allow God to work in them? There's a point in all of our lives, even though I'm a pastor's kid, there was a point in my life where I had to ask, will I submit to the work of the Holy Spirit to allow me to receive all that the Holy Spirit wants to give me so that I can be the Christian that he wants me to be? God is completely able. And so this is where I want to start in our journey. Let us not kid ourselves, okay? I don't want to give us any quick steps to growth. You know, I don't want to start with works. I don't want to start with, like, Bible plans. I don't want to start with techniques, because I would be doing a disservice to Scripture. If you want to grow in Christ, go to the source. It is the Holy Spirit. Get reacquainted with the Holy Spirit, folks. You know, start to study. Who is this Holy Spirit? Seek after the Holy Spirit. Because this is where growth starts. I'm going to be talking about disciplines, for sure. In the weeks to come, I'm going to be talking about things we can do to add to disciplines to add to our faith. But the foundation will always be the Holy Spirit. Faith in Christ. Faith in the Holy Spirit. And I have full confidence that his divine power has given you all that you need. And so just to spell it out again, you know, step one, it's like four steps, okay? If you want steps, if that's your kind of thing, step one is this. You are born again into a new life with God. You were born again as a gift of grace. A gift of grace through what Jesus Christ did by dying on the cross and rising again. That is a gift. And as a gift, the Holy Spirit, which is step two, as a gift, the Holy Spirit is sent to you. The Holy Spirit is here so that you will never be alone, that you will always have all that you need. So step three, we receive the help of the Holy Spirit. That is the task. Every day, are you willing to be led by the Holy Spirit? To say, you know what, I'm not going to do my own thing, but I'm going to do the thing of this Holy Spirit. And step four, if you're faithful to that, to the end, then God is even more faithful, and he's going to ensure that all the promises he has for you in this life are fulfilled. Which brings me to next week. I'm going to talk about how important it is to believe in the promises of God as we go forward as Christians. And as I close, I just want to say one last thing. There's one last thing that I want to talk about the Holy Spirit that the Holy Spirit does, is that the Holy Spirit, it grieves. We read about this in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 30, that the Holy Spirit, we were warned not to grieve the Holy Spirit. Can you imagine that God has given you all things, all that you need, and yet we do not acknowledge the power of the Holy Spirit in us? That God is standing there, right there, and you're constantly going through life, struggling, you know, just coming on Sunday and just kind of forgetting about it for the rest of the week, you know, and you can fool everybody, but the Holy Spirit is there right with you. And I want to encourage you, let us not grieve the Holy Spirit anymore. Let us kind of stop what we're doing and acknowledge the ministry of the Holy Spirit in our life. Because God's here to help. He's not here to condemn and destroy. There will come a time when God judges, but that's just out of his love. And he doesn't want to do that. He wants to make us flourish. His desire, he doesn't take joy in struggling, grumpy, stagnant Christians. He loves to make Christians flourish. And that's where it starts, the Holy Spirit. Let's get back in touch with the Holy Spirit. Amen. So, let's just move into a time of prayer. If you could all just, you know, bow your heads with me, if you feel comfortable. And as we move into this time of prayer, I just want to tell you about this time in Acts that we read. There was a bunch of Christians who were serving Christ, and they were scared, and they were all huddled in an upper room. And they just did what they knew best, and they were trying to worship. And they knew that they were going to be persecuted. And maybe some of you don't know how to grow. Some of you don't know how to grow in your families, and you don't know how to just learn more about God. And it's at that moment where the Holy Spirit came and changed everybody. And so I encourage you in your own way, in your own words, don't make it religious, but in your own words, if you want to change, if you really want to grow in Christ, I encourage you to say in your own way, just ask the Holy Spirit to change you, to help you grow. And I believe the Holy Spirit loves to answer these prayers. So in your own way, let us pray that. Lord God, we pray that you let your glory fall in this room. Let it go from here into the nations. Holy Spirit, we pray that you just descend upon us like tongues of fire, just like you did in Acts. Holy Spirit, would you quicken our hearts again in the places where we have been dead and we have been numb to you. Lord, revive us. Change us, Holy Spirit. We pray that you give us a heart that is willing to be changed. Give us a heart that desires you. Restore to us the joy of salvation. Holy Spirit, it is you who does this. And so we bank on it. We just put all of our trust in this prayer that God, it is you who does it. So Holy Spirit, today, from this day forward, we ask for a new openness, a new willingness to be guided by the ministry of the Holy Spirit. For the glory of your name, God, present us as a bride without fault and without blemish on that final day. For your sake, for your kingdom, Jesus, in your name we pray. Amen. Amen.